Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. And we have again an exciting guest. Actually, he's coming all over from Sweden, and his name is Simon. Simon, good evening.
Hello, Magdalena.
Thank you. Listen, I'm so excited. And tonight we will talk about the evolutionary astrology. And I'm so excited because astrology is something that I absolutely love to use in my own personal work. But I'm not so much familiar with the evolutionary astrology. So what I would love to you to do is kind of let our listener know about what that is and how did you get involved with that.
Sure. Okay, well, I got involved with evolutionary astrology in 2013, actually, in August. And I've been following astrology since the age of eight. I've carried the books with me, and I've always used it as an opportunity to, in some way, describe the phenomena of reality. In fact, it's the only way that I can actually interact with reality. So, you know, astrology has been very close to my heart, and it's a symbolic language of, you know, interdimensional awareness. And I've always been searching for something that was truly authentic. So inside of myself, I always felt that astrology could give us a sense of meaning, but I really wanted to get the most organic form of it. And I was searching, and eventually I came across the form of astrology that I work with, which is, as you've mentioned, evolutionary astrology. And what it basically is it takes the concept of the, you know, our understanding of the cosmos, and it takes the idea that, of course, we are souls traveling through time and space. And as we travel through time and space, we collect with us experiences and awarenesses and knowledge and so on. And we also expand our consciousness as we go through this time and space journey. And so what evolutionary astrology does is takes these principles of cosmic awareness and superimposes it onto the birth chart. And then from there, we get this opportunity to then objectify the nature of the metaphysical aspect of the soul's journey, right? So we're objectifying that the soul exists here. And from that perspective, we then can understand and uncover like a multitude of information that you're trying to seek. As an example, we could look from the spectrum of the trauma that a soul carries with it from past lives and including this one. We can see the relationship that you have towards your inner sense of identity, your ego, and the types of social imprinting that would be present in the birth chart and how you relate to that. So, you know, there's so much information that exists in the birth chart from the perspective and paradigm of evolutionary astrology. Yeah.
And also, you know, remember, I put it also on the side that I would also love to actually to discuss today with you. And, I understand that the moon matrix and the second coming of the Christ consciousness, and maybe talk also about the false light versus, true light.
Right.
You know, those are the aspects that I would love to, you know, incorporate, because a lot of the time I'm coming across that people are saying, you know, astrology is in itself is also just another matrix. And to me, it is, yes, okay, it could be a matrix, but also it's a tool that, you know, you can use it for your own benefits, you know, pull it out what
right.
works for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I suppose one of the reasons as to why I'm, you know, fanatically working for the understanding of evolutionary astrology to be present within the collective consciousness is because it understands these concepts already. It understands the nature of astrology being a kind of womb that we can use for our awareness to be expanded upon.
Mm-hmm.
So with evolutionary astrology, what it does is it comes from the ancient teachings of the Vedas. So we already understand that the soul incarnates into physical matter, and its primary function is to return back to the source of creation. And so this is this journey from the bottom of the spine up until the top into the cerebrum, and that would be the Kundalini awakening. So it incorporates all these dimensions. So it's a very spiritual practice, and it's a spiritual understanding. And birth chart itself, through the lens of evolutionary astrology, allows us to access the deep unconscious and also very conscious astral karma that you have attached with you, the reason as to why you keep on reincarnating. So it actually is a tool for you to liberate yourself from the matrix that is the lower mind or the lower body, etc., and to actually access pure authentic ascension. And, you know, so this form of astrology gives us this tool to actually transcend in that way. So, you know, as much as it can be perceived as another matrix, this form actually allows us to access the more spiritual dimensions that we have incarnated to experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm actually looking for, you know, because the whole point is, I mean, I used astrology for myself many, many years ago when I was going through incredible challenges. And what I recognized down the road that, you know, I could find so many repetitions, so many cycles that I was, you know, repeating, but also all the information, the energy went actually processed through my own body. So, yeah, I can totally understand what you are talking about, you know, in a sense.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting about and EA itself is that there's a, you know, the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green, used to mock other forms of astrology, not in a negative way. He just used to call the generalized books cookbook astrology. And most of his work was actually trying to create a readjustment and a realignment regarding the distortion that exists in sort of, you know, the normal forms of astrology, because there was an element that was essentially missing, and that was individual context. So you would have somebody that, you know, you okay. have this Mars in Cancer signature in your chart, you read a book, and it tells you that this is what it symbolizes. And you go around basically attaching your sense of identity to this definition that you've read in a book, and you actually have formed this matrix ego, literally. And you go, I have Mars in Cancer, so I'm like this. And he was, you know, even myself, I look at this and I'm like, okay, this is really, really bad, because, you know, everybody has individual context. And the actual true essence of a Mars in Cancer signature, if anybody has that symbolism, is that the soul in some way, shape, or form is trying to understand its relationship to the cosmos through the nature of security. So early life imprinting would represent a soul that would have had something being taken away from it that would have shown it that the life wasn't safe, catapulting it into the awareness of needing to be very aware of what is safe and what is not safe in its environment. And of course, this is then directly linked to its relationship to life, which is, this is what I'm here to incarnate through. I'm understanding these stories, these dynamics, and so on and so forth. I mean, you can see in this little very brief description how incredibly detailed and informative this can be to anybody that's going, why do I always seem to have such a deep insecurity around my environment? Why am I always panicking when somebody's just about to do something random, you know? And that's why, from an energetic perspective, you carry this archetype with you. You know, and another thing that I love about it so much as well is that it takes on there's two other things. It's observation correlation. So it is a natural science. We're first observing the nature of your consciousness and then correlating it to the birth chart, not the other way around, which again is what this moon matrix is about. We have become so conditioned to externalize our authority that we look at the birth chart and tell it that it's right, versus actually looking at our own individual context and saying, hang on, you know, this drawing of this chart here says that I've got Mars in Cancer, and yet I feel a very strong Mars in Leo signature within myself. So we get this instant fragmentation of what is right and what is wrong because we don't honor our own authentic self. So EA goes, it's not about looking at the chart first. It's actually about having a conversation and trying to understand where a person's coming from within their own consciousness and then objectifying it through the birth chart. So therefore, it's not astrology that's affecting life. It's you. It's just giving us a tool to reflect back to us existing.
To understand.
Within.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's natural laws.
Yes, practically, you know, when you are trying to seek the truth, that, you know, you are not going into the and looking for the answer into the astrology. You are using astrology as a transformation or information.
Correct. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can actually talk a little more about the things, a moon and a Saturn a matrix. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating discussion, to be honest. I'm suspecting that you know, some of the people that are listening to this radio show right now, there's a video on YouTube that I created called "The Saturn Moon or the Moon Matrix and the Return of Christ Consciousness: False Light versus Organic."
Mm-hmm.
And this was done quite a while ago. In fact, about 6 months ago. And as I have, you know, delved deeper into the nature of what this is about and become more in tune with its vibration, it's become a lot more refined. So what we're dealing with here right now, especially on Earth, is we first have to accept the fact that we are pure white light, okay? We are white light. That is what we are essentially. This is the source of creation. And as we transcend, or should I say, descend into the lower dimensional aspects of creation being separate to source is the manifestation of the creation, and creation is because source wants it to experience itself. Okay, so we accept that cosmology and that understanding. We can then understand what is actually the nature of reality, which is a spectrum of light, and the diversity of light is what you perceive and see. Okay, so individual context can now be understood. For instance, my journey on Earth and my story is a reflection of light in a certain direction. And your journey on Earth is a reflection of light in that direction. Right? So that's the individual part. But yet we both share the same common aspects of ourselves, is that firstly, we entered the world the same way. We are both organically constructed. And the navel canal, or the navel part, the belly button, we share. You know, it's not like anybody's born without it. So we have this common connection towards something that's far greater than ourselves. Now, what the Saturn Moon Matrix is about, from an archetypal perspective, is that we have two archetypes that are part of this universe that, as we as human beings, interact with. And this is what actually allows us to nurture ourselves, which would be the nature of the moon. So this would be the lunar. And you can look up many different types of philosophies, and you'll always see that there is the caduceus, which is the medical rod, and the wings on the left and right hand side, and that represents the sun and the moon. And this symbology is the way that we return back to source, which is the reason why we incarnated in the first place. We wanted to experience ourselves in creation. So we descended from source, and we are now looking to return back to it. And that return journey is your spiritual path, i.e. to return back to love, to return back to the archetype of healing the heart. Now, because of the nature of our galactic cycles, we have experienced what I call a 6,000-year winter. And this can be represented and symbolized through, you know, many different types of cosmologies, the star system Sirius and its orbit around our sun system and the binary. We can talk about the age of Aquarius relative to the age of Pisces, and of course, obviously, the precession of the equinoxes. So, you know, we have been in this what you can be considered the spiritual winter. Our consciousness is very limited. Our awareness regarding where we are and what we are in context has descended into matter. So we have this light that we are, we experience creation and ultimately return back to the same place, and yet we are directly affected by cosmic cycles. So what we have around us at this point in time is a collection of experiences and expressions through this darkness. And unfortunately for man, and especially for the nature of our masculine and feminine energy, that has been heavily distorted, okay? So at some point, we honored the cycles of matriarchy, which was, you know, looking at the sun and moon, and we honored its cycles, and we lived in harmony with nature, and you know, that the female archetype was present, where it was nurture and protect and inclusion, etc. But the masculine energy was in every way, shape, or form completely suppressed. There was no expansion of the heart. And so what you have here is then a manifestation, okay, a natural manifestation of the masculine energy going, we need to expand. But because of this suppressed heart energy, and it develops this ego structure where we now have the manifestation of patriarchy over the last 6,000 years. Now, in evolutionary astrology, there are three specific symbols that can only be accessed using a program called Solifier, or a very professional program that can allow you to do these things. And that is to access what is called the south nodes of all the planets, okay? So just as in karmic astrology, you have the north and south node of a moon representing the past and future, you actually have the south node of Neptune, and you have the south, the north node of Neptune. You have the south node of Uranus, and you have the south node of Pluto. And you know what's really, really funny actually is that most of us are not even aware that those cycles, those actual south and north nodes, have far greater influence on our perception of reality than the actual natal planets themselves. So the current placement of them right now. And the reason why that's the case. Sorry, carry on.
This is so interesting. I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw idea here. When you're mentioning that, because talking about the matriarchal and time, it was 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That was actually Cancer energy, and now we are dealing with the Pluto in Capricorn. There's total opposition about that, and And another thing, what it actually really triggered us, I was listening to one of your videos, is that, we are dealing with a Pisces energy, and we have a Chiron in the Pisces.
Yep.
But I also, I was studying, the last time that we had this Atlantis sinking and stuff, it was, mm-hmm. I think, in the era of Virgo. So I just wanted to kind of add that when you're talking about that these long-standing cycles, you are so right about that.
Yeah. And I mean, another cosmology that you can use to understand these greater cycles, and it's, from my point of view, it's incredibly important to actually recognize these greater cycles. Because if you're going to be asking the questions about nature of reality in the depth that we are exploring it today, we've got to recognize that our roof or our cosmology, our umbrella, needs to be very expansive in order for us to then allow the acceptance of some of these statements. So when you're trying to understand the nature of the collective evolution and where we have been from and what has influenced and re-imprinted within our psyche over the last, 6,000 years, we're looking at the yuga cycles, okay? The Vedas and the Indian philosophy used the yuga cycles. And so we're moving out of what is considered the Kali Yuga cycle, and we're moving into the Dwapara Yuga, which is the representation of two. And one of the ways that we can objectify that is slight pieces of insight that get put into the collective consciousness. And this will be something like Albert Einstein's, theory of relativity, amongst many other souls, like, for instance, Nikola Tesla, who's been completely suppressed in terms of the knowledge. And this is, again, tied with the moon matrix issue that we have on the planet today, and obviously what the return of Christ is about. And especially a radio show like this, the work that you are doing right now is a representation of breaking that moon matrix situation. And that is that because of this patriarchal world in which we have existed within, which is a natural response to the suppression in the matriarchy, we now have this reality where the emotional part of our masculine energy, i.e. the men, has not been resolved. So we carry with us deep, deep emotional or unresolved emotional trauma. A simple example that I could give to really, drive this home is circumstances and situations regarding World War II and how men were sent to the war. And can you think of how disassociated and disconnected one has to be from the physical body to not only be in that trauma, but to also then reincarnate into another lifetime carrying this residue of that stuff and not even having any spiritual guidance around how to heal that process.
You know what is interesting? At that time, we had actually Uranus in Cancer. Here we are again, Cancer energy. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And definitely, I mean, you know, I am recognizing in my own personal work too that we have so many personal wounds. And, you know, I was just recently on the American Freedom Show talking with the host, and we were talking about, you know, from the point of perspective of healing. And I said, you know what, there's not much we can do. We cannot do move forward unless we open the wounds in our hearts and heal them.
That's right.
It's just impossible. It's just totally impossible. So, yeah, definitely.
And the manifestation of those wounds come through, you know, many, many lifetimes living under a mass amount of emotional suppression, you know, because of the masculine energy being expanded in the last 6,000 years, the rejection of the feminine archetype has, you know, it's been completely and utterly suppressed. So what we have here is our inability to not only heal what the Vedas called samskaras, which is these energetic imprints that we have in our energy field that are literally time loops. The way that we can understand this is that at least at some point in your life, you've made a statement where you've gone, why do I draw this person into my life? Why does that keep on happening to me? Why do I feel this way? And so on and so forth. And most of the time, it's because somewhere your soul has created or experienced a trauma that has not been able to be resolved. And so you incarnate with this part of you that keeps on as an energy vortex drawing the same thing to you until you resolve it, which is done through the feminine archetype. I mean, that's why you incarnate into this plane of existence. It's the womb for you to ascend. So because nobody knows how to do that, we basically sit in this bottomless well of needing, and this is where the matrix comes through here. We've got the Saturn energy, the Saturn archetype representing physical reality, the construction of our world. Mm-hmm. And you have then the archetype of the moon, which is the representation of the mother or the nurture archetype. Now, they've been so distorted that what symbolizes the father archetype of nurture, protection, guidance, etc., has been replaced with governments, with priests, with banksters. Okay? So what we have here is through our externalization of our consciousness and the consistent distractions in our 3D world, we don't even recognize that it's about closing the eye and accessing the pineal gland and the third eye to understand the inner journey and the spiritual awakening process. But because we're so distracted using our eyes, our two eyes of duality, we get lost in this world. And so what we do is we follow the norms and conditioning patterns and false light that says to us that this is what creation is about. And we walk around completely and utterly unaware of the actual meaning of the incarnation to begin with. So the heart doesn't get healed, leaving us in the cycle of needing to create an ego structure that not only has to facilitate feelings of humiliation. I mean, this is one of the major reasons as to why we have so many, I mean, we wear clothes on ourselves to protect us or to as shields to protect us from the inner vulnerability that we don't know how to process. This will be the moon. So instead of the mother archetype healing us through feeling into pain and going, you know, I feel this way, we then project onto other people emotional displaced energy and blame other people and feel victimized by life, which then perpetuates the need for retail therapy, you know, and doing things that are a complete waste of time, completely. And it's pretty sad when you see it that way, that you understand that most of our sort of lives up until this point have been spent, you know, roaming around, interacting with symbols and states of universes and such that have absolutely zero energy refund, nothing whatsoever. In fact, that's why we age the way that we do, because we don't actually interact with things that rejuvenate us through feeling the heart pulsating in what we interact with, you know? And also the Pluto in Leo generation, which were born between, correct
that's
me.
Yeah. That's right. Me.
You guys carry with you this life of needing to, you know, empower yourself through the sun, which is the heart.
But not just that. We had to break away from the Pluto in Cancer.
That's right. That's
because
right.
because they were so squishing our you know creativity.
That's right.
I know. I mean, I am a Leo, a Pluto. So definitely, you know what I'm saying. A lot mm-hmm. of time, people are saying, you know, that the baby boomer generation, it just look like, you know, we are not paying attention and blah blah blah. That's not true, because this is actually the primary reason why I gave the name to my show, Conscious Thought with Leo. That actually in Leo, you are awakening to yourself.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. And in fact, that is the true father. The true father is the relationship that we have to our son, which is our inner child. And, you know, for the reason as to why this is such a strong story within my own personal life is because I carry this imprint with me of begging the patriarchy to be merciful in circumstances and situations. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my most previous recent past lives was literally having a parent that was in high powerful position, and as a child looking into the way that he was literally controlling the community in a way that was literally destroying them. And I was, you know, tagging on his hand, going like, please, could you stop? Could you have some mercy? And so I come into this lifetime having this very strong remembrance, and still, when I respond to my reality, I'm always responding in a sense of like, we need to give each other incredible amounts of love because of the amount of distortion that we've experienced through duality, you know, through the government and the illusion of authority and the police and the military. And again, security needs to be a part of this process. So instead of us having the Holy Spirit and care and nutrition and information about how to nurture the body in itself through organic eating, we've got things like banksters, we've got things like priests and so on and so forth, and politicians that consistently perpetuate false illusion, false light about security. And it's actually
so practically our security is displaced in a wrong
direction. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Completely. So nobody knows how to actually ascend through the Trinity, which is the Father, the Mother, and the Holy Spirit in this place, or the Divine Child. That is wisdom. So, you know, we don't have the masculine energy or the feminine energy feeling into our pain, accepting our pain, giving us forgiveness when we are experiencing, you know, many of us carry lifetimes of abandonment. Many of us experience lifetimes where we've watched our entire community being burnt down, you know, in lives that are stemming, again, 6,000 years ago from the transition from matriarchy to patriarchy. We carry this in our cellular memory. This is not something that we, you know, this, you know, when we're talking here, we're talking about some deep stuff. And mm-hmm. what we energetically respond to in our environment, if there's something that stimulates that feeling again that there's going to be an abandonment within our lives, our natural response to that is to shut down, to close down, and to not even explore that pain. And then what happens is we just go, okay, well, here's the pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, they'll just create something that creates an illusion of bliss that then makes us forget about the story. And then from that point onwards, we never actually heal the trauma that exists in the body. We just displace it. We just pretend it doesn't there through this magical pill. And also through, you know, watching copious amounts of television and, you know, participating in random stuff that completely and utterly disconnects you from your body. And this is what this issue is about. It's about the disconnect from the body and the non-recognition that the body is the physical vehicle that we use to understand our spiritual story. And if that disconnect exists, well, that's it. We're done. You will never find your way back home. You are lost in the matrix, as it were. And
well, momentan, we are having an incredible issue, you know, in every avenue, you know, you can talk about. And mm-hmm. what I would like to do here, Simon, can you actually help us to connect, for instance, in people who are dealing with entities and energies that are actually taking over the life energy of the individuals? How do you see that?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, there are different terminologies that we can use when it comes to these fourth dimensional entities. Now, the very nature of a fourth dimensional entity is the inability to understand the higher dimension, okay, to experience it. So what we have here is these entities that feed off emotional suffering and pain and the illusion of separateness. And they will naturally attach themselves to the energy field that you have. But remember that you carry the initial trauma in you. You carry the initial separation in you. So what will happen here is that you will naturally have an abandonment regarding a past life or this lifetime. And there's a deep wounding there. And now, because this is a perfect opportunity for an entity to be attached to you in that way, whenever you are experiencing a lack of sleep, whenever you are experiencing a low vibrational day, the likelihood of this entity being triggered is very high, because of course you are not strong within your energetic field. You might not have the ability to hold the presence of unity consciousness, which is the fifth dimension. So what happens here is that somebody triggers you off and you respond to them in an emotional reaction, right? That causing conflict. And then, of course, that conflict then instantly creates separation. That then feeding the entity itself, because the energy then is of pain and suffering. So there are two major ways that this can be done. And I promise you right now that as much as we would like to actually complete this in this entire lifetime, it's not going to happen. But I promise you right now that this is the ultimate journey. From my point of view and studying and researching many ancient teachings, the ultimate journey is the Trinity, which is you feel into the astral body, which is where this entity will exist. You recognize within yourself that there is an illusion of separateness that is occurring through this pain. I feel abandoned. So instead of emotionally responding, causing a reaction in the external world that then stimulating this entity, you feel into the emotion, you feel into the pain, and then you recognize within inside of yourself that this is where you feel abandoned. So you take responsibility for your life. You take responsibility for the fact that your life is an experience or a collection of experiences of good and of, you know, wonderful things and not so wonderful things, as it were. So you feel into that, and that is the mother archetype. This is the feminine energy. And you offer your sense of acceptance, and you offer yourself acceptance and sense of forgiveness. And it is from that point onwards, then you start accessing the masculine energy. And this is where the energy comes from the top of source into the spine, okay? And you allow knowledge. This is where you start to protect yourself. This is where you start behaving in a certain way that is researching information regarding this. Or you create certain mantras that you practice every single day that reminds you of taking control of this specific pain. And this is, of course, where evolutionary astrology comes in, and including the work that I do. We will look at your birth chart and say, okay, look, Pluto's in the 11th house over here, so there's a natural tendency within your life to probably carry with yourself some trauma regarding rejection. So the next time you're in a situation that you're feeling rejected, open up the heart and say, look, guys, I feel rejected in this situation. Now, because we've never been taught how to father ourselves when we are in a place of vulnerability, which will naturally be destroyed, would naturally be destroyed if we're in the unholy trinity or the Saturn matrix that we have through governmental oppression and patriarchal suppression, is that the child doesn't know how to be open. So we don't want to feel vulnerable and we hate it. So we run away and we close off. So the way that you deal with this is you open up, you actually open up, you allow the heart to be pulsating there and you say, look, I felt this way. If this is in a relationship, for instance, I felt like a part of me got wounded when this happened and that I need a hug, or I need in some way, shape or form, just to do something that makes me bring up my vibration, raises it up, watch a funny film, for instance. And this is what you do. You basically are consistently balancing the left and right brain, the masculine and feminine energy. You're feeling into the emotion. You're taking responsibility for it. You're giving yourself the opportunity to forgive yourself for the fact that this is part of you and that it is not entirely something that controls you. You renounce your sovereignty. And then from that place, you take the father archetype, which is the nature of protection. You open up. You stand in that vulnerability and you say, and you allow courage, okay? And that's how you would approach the situation. And it's a consistent thing because we carry boatloads of samskaras, you know? And sometimes you'll get it right and sometimes you won't, but this is the ultimate story. In fact, if anybody's really, really interested in understanding this in a more intimate way, I am currently creating, I have created the first video, which is called The Cosmic Separation. And I've got two more that I've just about to finish recording regarding how to actually do this with illustrations and so on and so forth on my YouTube channel. So, we'll talk about that at the later. But yeah, that would be how you would approach this situation.
Mm-hmm. So practically what we are dealing here, it looked like we were talking about before, is it looked like we have the Chiron, you know, the wounded healer. Yep. And then practically we have a Capricorn, you know, the authority. And then how can we use actually the Virgo? Because, you know, most of the time, I mean, this incredible, you know, judgment coming from the society and this enormous amount of control what we are, that humanity is dealing right now, you know, this humongous suppression. So how can we deal as a collective with this kind of, you know, challenges?
Okay.
Or can we just go more on the individual level?
Yeah, I mean, This is what I feel in terms of the situation, and it's a big part of my own personal work. And that is that, firstly, we have to accept the nature of our cosmic karma, which is that we are just literally coming out of the Kali Yuga cycle. So a lot of humanity at this point in time, in terms of its collective consciousness, has got the illusion of separation. So there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of victimization, there's a lot of circumstances and situations that we carry where this duality is present. And so we're right on the beginning part of that. So many of us at this point in time don't really have the tools necessary to understand this process, which is why people like myself and you and many others that are aware of this understanding are now going to be in some way, shape, or form of service to humanity and to ourselves, because it operates on a micro and macrocosm as well. If you can integrate this within your own personal life, then your own personal story becomes the gift that you can offer humanity. So for me, for instance, very, very simply, one of my own stories is that when I had my, you know, awakening process happen, where I felt that this was the time that I need to act upon it, I felt incredibly alone and there was nothing around, which is common for many people that have gone through this process. And so what I did was, like, I created a YouTube channel and I started speaking about this stuff and basically sharing my own personal stories around it so that anybody that was out there searching for it would feel a sense of security. Mm-hmm. And what's ironic about the situation is that that's exactly what my story from evolutionary astrology is about, is actually stepping into more of a nurturing and secure a role as a father figure, as it were, as I'm healing that within myself. So it begins at home. It begins with firstly connecting with your own pain and your own feelings of separation and loss and suffering and displacement and so on and so forth, and then applying this self-healing mechanism, which we've discussed here very briefly and, of course, through the YouTube videos, and getting a tool that allows you to objectify the nature of your reality. So, for instance, if you're into numerology, if you're into things like, I mean, I don't know what else there is out there, astrology and such, use that tool to be able to objectify your reality and then explore these parts of yourselves that are wounded. And then as you start to then heal this within yourself, you start to then become a living representation for others to follow in your wake. And the purpose here is to literally follow the story of Christ, the actual authentic story of Christ, not this nonsense that's been perpetuated through biblical Christian patriarchy, okay? The actual story is that he understands that he is part of creation, right? In other words, incarnating. He accepts and dies on the cross in terms of the acceptance of his cube, which is his karma. He accepts his karma. Once he accepts his karma, he heals through that karma. He ascends through the Kundalini serpent story, i.e. the 13 or 12 archetypes within the spine. He accesses an awakening experience and then becomes a teacher of this, i.e. he shares his own story. And this is what we need to do for ourselves. When we do this as a collective, we then start to become literally authors as well as anchors of this consciousness into the collective field. And then that process becomes how we then change and shape the Earth's timelines in a more sort of unity consciousness way. Okay. And that would be the best way that I would perceive this road to for us to go, that we all become stories. We connect with our own story. We connect with our own pain so that we have an emotional understanding of what we're dealing with. And then we become living representations of that in our own lives. And it can be something as subtle as just being a really, really loving person in your neighborhood and just, you know, doing some good stuff here, showing and spreading some love, to something as intensely powerful as, you know, what you're doing here on the radio show and what we're doing on YouTube and so on and so forth.
Yeah, bringing spreading awareness. Yeah, bringing information to the you know, a community. Yes,
that's right. It's like bringing more light into the consciousness of humanity that has been going through the darkness.
Well, you know what is very interesting to me is that, you know, on the internet you have so much information, but also at the same time we have such a humongous amount of disinformation. And that's so right. to being a truth seeker, it's sometimes very difficult to kind of distinguish, you know, what is the truth, what is the false light in this whole mm-hmm. Processing. And also, you know, for instance, you know, I was also looking to ask you a question about, you know, all the, for instance, you know, people are talking about contracts with different entities and how to break mm-hmm. those contracts. So do you have any input on that?
Yeah, I mean, my awareness around this is, you know, I like this subject. In terms of contracts with, you know, interdimensional entities and so on and so mm-hmm. forth, mm-hmm. recognize that there's one fundamental connection here, okay? And that is that you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe you have the greatest lie ever told to you, that you don't have the power from within. So what happens is that you don't perceive yourself to be empowered, and so therefore make contracts with people that represent or symbolize empowerment. Therefore, you then become in this relationship where you go, hey, I need help and awareness. And in response to that, you then get help and awareness. But what you give in return is your energy, like your life force, okay? And this can be represented through the job that you do under the perception that you don't have your own skills and awarenesses and identities of your own empowerment. So you've got to firstly recognize your own sovereignty in yourself, which is that you don't need external saviors, that you are your own savior.
I was just looking forward to get for that.
Right, exactly. The masculine and feminine energy is in within yourself. And the way that you do that is by consistently practicing the shifting of your awareness from the external into the internal, so that you then become awareness of your own light. And it is by that process do you then start awakening your own journey. And that's when you start to become a representation of true, authentic light. And you also, at the same time, represent to others what it means to, in every shape or form, not fall into the false light representation, which is seeking God externally. And the only reason why we do this is because we have the illusion of separateness, which is when we incarnate onto this plane of existence, the light that is part of us is very dim because the baby is unaware, right? And when the navel cord gets cut, it is that representation of severance from source. However, we are not actually severed from it at all. In fact, it's just the physical dimension that gives us the illusion of the separateness. And so that's what these fourth dimensional entities do. They go, we're going to give you information, but we're going to make sure that you come to us for this. And we never actually tell you where the true source is. And that is from within. So when you get to a point when you start living in authentic action within yourself and you're operating from good ethics, which is dealing with purity. Purity is a big, big word. When you're looking to purify your body through eating clean food, through allowing yourself to not disturb the psychic senses, you know, eating meat, for instance, is a great example of this. You know, as above, so below. The moment that you start eating meat, you must recognize that that is what is being done to you, because you are then perpetuating the death of animals on this planet that are in direct relationship to yourself, which is the energy that is contained in that animal itself. You are osmosing with its DNA. The plant-based vegan food is the most authentic way to allow more light to be within yourself. So it's this process of working and this path of clearing out as much energetic debris that keeps you in a low vibration and therefore then not needing external authorities to give you information because you have now direct access to your higher self, which is where all the codes exist. Your entire life was already set out for you before you even came onto this incarnation. You chose it. The only reason why you don't recognize it is because you haven't connected to your higher self, i.e. intuition, and you haven't nurtured and cultivated it because of the illusion of separateness and the distractions that are perpetuated through the Saturn matrix mind control. It's like your nurturing comes through your job status. No, it comes through your ability to hold space within yourself when you feel a sense of vulnerability and that you need to open up more when you are feeling vulnerable instead of closing down and then going out into the world and distracting yourself from all of the illusions that are perpetuated through, you know, it's just a myriad of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was kind of trying to add, you know, that savior things archetype is also actually part of the Pisces era that we are kind of closing.
That is correct.
Can you give us a little information what is actually to expect for the Aquarius era as an archetype?
Yeah, I mean, the archetype of Aquarius in itself correlates to the nature of individuality. And so what's going to naturally happen for us, and this actually started to already occur when Uranus and Neptune made a conjunction between 1987 and 1995 in Capricorn. That was the initiation of the Aquarian age in terms of the speeding up of this process, because those two symbols then went into Aquarius straight afterwards. And that is that, where do I belong? What tribe do I associate with? And how does that tribe reflect my individuality and my sense of creative expression? So as we move into this more electric age and we start to recognize the age of energy, we'll start to create and manifest, you know, technology around energy understanding. You know, the archetype of mobile telephones is a great example of this process. Unfortunately, we still have corruption in the world, so the mobile telephones are not used to empower our lives in the way that we need it to do. It's just a wonderful tracking mechanism to capture all of what you are and to keep you completely distracted.
Well, also, you know, what I'm actually concerned about the transhumanism in this whole thing is that, you know, that it may not go in the best interest of the humanity, but for the profit or whatever, you know, so...
That's probably the scariest thing about the Aquarian age.
No kidding. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, so what could we do in that arena?
Well, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to recognize, and this is, again, something that's really, really important to know, is that Aquarius correlates to elitism. Okay? So what happens here is that as we move into Aquarian age, most of us, or a majority of us on the planet, will naturally feel, through the illusion of governmental structures and illusion of authority, that we need to be saved. And so because of this need for savior, because of some external situations and circumstances that are occurring in our lives, that we need to be saved. And so at the same time, we need to create a reality where we are God, okay? And science is God. Now, this is incredibly dangerous because at this point in time, as we move into this Aquarian age, the more disconnected we become from the body and its natural function of the pineal gland and the awakening of the oil and the Kundalini story and our cosmic connection, the more we're going to recognize that we are gods, but in the egotistic sense, not in the cosmic sense, okay? And so what we will create is this elite perception of ourselves, that we are going to attach, you know, robots to the nature of our lives, and we're going to manifest these incredible advancements in our technology. Yet at the same time, the entirety of the emotional body and the feminine archetype still suppressed. So we are, you know, and it's crazy. It's really, really crazy how bad this is going to become, because we're going to create this wonderful technology that's going to be, I mean, something that's really, really simple to explain this, okay? We use credit cards at this point in time as chips, you know, the mark of the beast, to pay for stuff here in Sweden in the checkouts, okay? Now, all of a sudden, because the mobile telephone is so much more convenient, they've got this thing called Bleep. And what happens is that you just scan your mobile telephone where you would use the card. And then the mobile telephone would be connected to your bank account. And then this would be something that you would pay with. Now, the insanity lies here. The souls that are still under the process of sleeping through fluoride, et cetera, are going, this is amazing. What a wonderful piece of invention. And like, if you look at the reality of it, it's like, what is the difference? Instead of using a card, now you're using that. It's like, how can we be so focused on that little subtle change in technology and praise it so much when we have so many more other issues to deal with? That is the illusion. That is the complete sleeping state, the distraction. So we get all these wonderful pieces of advancements in technology keeping us in this loop of, you know, we need this is amazing technology advancements, all the while completely and utterly disconnected from the actual essence of what we are, which is the mother, father, nurturing, masculine, feminine story. So this age of Aquarius is going to create two timelines where one, we're going to have corporations and trades and you belong to this. I'm an iPhone person and you're an Android person. And that's a divide straight away. It's like, you know.
And total disconnect from the natural
total
energy.
Total disconnection.
Yes.
Right? Or we can have the natural organic way of the current age, which is to use science in alignment with our spirituality. And to recognize the balance of the left and right brain, to integrate the masculine and feminine energy. So for anybody that's listening to this right now that feels very, very propelled to want to be of service in some way, shape, or form to humanity and to yourself, learn as much as you can about what it means to have a balanced left and right brain hemisphere and to understand masculine and feminine energy operating simultaneously. There is no such thing as gender role assignment. You're both masculine and feminine at the same time. It is how you navigate your way through this matrix. If you understand that process, there is no duality, there's no separation. Science and spirituality are merged together. They cannot be separate. It will be complete wow. insanity.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so wow. we're at a big point in our lives at this stage.
Yeah, we are, Simon. Listen, oh my God, we have a few minutes left off. Please let our listener know your plan, what are you doing, your programs, and how they can actually get in touch with you.
Sure. Okay, well, the website that I have is called raisingvibrationsastrology.com. And on the website, you can find all the information regarding what I do in terms of, you know, my services and such. And the tabs are very, very clear. So that's where you can catch me. That's the landing page. On my website as well, I have a link to an online media Facebook group called Wake Up World, which is a very large group on Facebook that basically helps assimilate alternative news and non-distorted information. And that's on Facebook. Check them out, Wake Up World, a wonderful, wonderful place. And I write astrology articles for them and post it on there. And they're also on my website itself. So if you want to see any of or learn astrology, I have that there. I also have a website, a YouTube channel called Raising Vibrations. And, you know, you just put that search engine and you'll see that I've got over 250 videos talking about everything that you need to know regarding ascension, regarding spiritual awakening. Learn astrology if you want to in the way, understand evolutionary astrology and so on and so forth. I've just started something very recently, which is called Chart of the Day. And that's kind of just a simple 7-minute video, you know, just holding space for us regarding our spiritual journey here and healing the heart. In terms of current programs that I have at this stage, I teach and run various astrology schools, beginner's course astrology, which is an 8-week course where I teach everybody about the nature of how to read karma and past lives in a birth chart so that you can obviously objectify your own reality, and then also an intermediate and so on and so forth. And then I have the big program, and this is specifically designed for souls that are looking to assimilate all the knowledge that I have within my own life. And this is called the Metamorphosis Program. And this is a 3-month program that I'll hold with you. And what we do is we have one session every week as well as a group session on the weekend. And this is intended as an online spiritual retreat where we basically take you from the current place that you're right now and fully integrate you into the matrix in a way that is actually spreading light and not distortion. So it's about self-empowerment and so on and so forth. So if you're interested in something like that as well, I do hold these programs, and all the information is on my website, which is raisingvibrationsastrology.com.
Wow, you are a pretty busy man.
I most certainly am. And then I have a family of three children and my partner that helps me run this.
Good for you. Listen, Simon, that was such a great information. I appreciate you, you know, for being up that late, you know, coming from Sweden. And I really thank you. And I thank you for our listeners, you know, sharing with them the information. And so for the future, if I, you know, need you, I will just give you a buzz. So if you are willing to, you know, come back to share your information, that would be so awesome.
Absolutely. I'd love to be able to communicate with you again whenever you feel the need to.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. And thank you for listening. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.